Luke chapter 2. And we want to read to you the Christmas story out of the book of Luke. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And so this morning, I want to share with you about some Christmas cheer. Just to look at this Christmas story just a little bit differently. I was just looking at how many times you preach about Christmas and how many sermons you do about Christmas, and you start having to look for, I need to get a different angle to talk about Christmas because we've talked about it so many different times. Well, anyways, we read this story, we're reminded of the greatest story ever told, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A miraculous birth, born of a virgin in a stable in Bethlehem because there's no room for them in the inn. We see that there was a visitation by angels, visitation by wise men, visitation by shepherds, all coming to see the Christ child and to bring their gifts. Now, for this morning, I want to focus more about the angelic visitation and the announcements that they were proclaiming over us that are still, I believe, available for each one of us here today. And it starts with an angelic visitation to the start of the announcement of the Lord's birth. So we see heaven, all of heaven is involved in bringing forth this message of the birth of Jesus Christ. It was a manifestation of the presence of heaven coming to earth, celebrating the birth of the Son of God who came from heaven to be born into our world as a Savior and as a Redeemer for all people. We see that it was suddenly. And I really like that as I read through scriptures about all the suddenlies that take place in the Bible. And it speaks here of a suddenly that came as the angels appeared suddenly. And you'll see that in the Bible, lots of suddenlies that took place, like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the stone was rolled away, there was a suddenly, all of a sudden that stone got rolled away, proving that Jesus was who he said he was. And you know, we start reading in the Bible in the story of Jesus. You read about the Emmaus Road, that after the crucifixion, some of the disciples or followers of Christ are walking on this road, and suddenly Jesus was among them. You go a little bit further in the Bible and you see as the disciples are now in a room, they have the doors locked for fear that the Jews might come after them. And suddenly, Jesus appears in the room behind locked doors. Keep going through the Bible, you see the day of Pentecost. And there was a sound from heaven. Suddenly, a sound from heaven and the Holy Spirit was outpoured. Keep following in the Bible and you will see the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, persecuting the church. And as he was on the road to do further persecution, suddenly occurred that there was a light from heaven that touched his life, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And kind of interesting, as you keep looking, the suddenly right up to the end of Scriptures and the coming of Christ. And the Bible says there's going to be another suddenly that will take place as the Lord returns in the air. And so, you know, the Christmas story starts off with some suddenlies. There's more suddenlies to come. History has shown us that there's been suddenlies where God began to move on humankind throughout the ages of our world. And personally for myself, I am looking forward to another suddenly to take place before the return of Christ that will usher in the greatest revival that we ever seen. That's my hope and that's my dream, and that's what I keep praying for and looking for. But as we look back to this Christmas story, this suddenly that took place, this coming of Jesus upon the earth, you know, it's something that it's not over. It's not over. It's not finished. It brought great cheer to our world as he came into our world, and it's still bringing cheer to lives of people even to this very day. And so as we look at this story with the shepherds and the angels, that great joy was brought to them. The shepherds left that place praising and God and singing praises to the Lord. The Lord is wanting to give us good cheer into our world even today. And our world could use that. You know, there's a lot of things going on in our world, a lot of things that are not good that are going on in our world. But you know what? Christ is wanting to bring some good cheer into our world still to this very day. And so as I just look at that, I want to look at just four areas that kind of talk about that. There's some good news, some good things that are happening that God wants to do in our midst. And the first part of Christmas cheer that kind of jumped out to me as I was reading this was the announcement that we do not need to be afraid. Man, there's so much going on in our world today where fear is being promoted. No matter where you look with social media, it's just promoting fear, 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 fear. Well, Christ is telling us, I've come into this world so that you don't have to fear. Do not be afraid. That portion of scriptures, Luke chapter 2, verse 9 says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I think that's a word that is still echoing from heaven to earth today that should bring us good cheer. Do not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Now, for those that were at that time, for them, Old Testament people were very scared if there was an appearance of Christ or an appearance of God, I should say. They thought if you saw God, you would die. So that was a great fear. So here they're, these shepherds, an angel appears. Well, they're not kind of waiting around to see, is it an angel or is it God? They were terrified, it says. But again, I like the message, listen, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Now you can have those encounters with God, and you don't fear that you're going to die. Rather, he's going to give you life. And that's a wonderful thing. And so this announcement that day was certainly much more different than what they were expecting. Now a Savior was being born, and he was taking on human flesh. He was becoming the God-man that opened the door to a new intimacy and a relationship that we could have with God, and that we would not have to fear God because God was revealing himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that fear is a terrible curse in our society, and even we are seeing it being promoted more and more and more because people are trying to control us. And fear can be something that is very tormenting. But we need to remember something. Our God has made an announcement. You don't have to fear. Do not be afraid. He's an answer to all those things that are causing fear in our lives. And all through Scripture, he reminds us of that truth that we don't have to fear because he is now with us. The Bible says he is our Emmanuel, the God who is now with us. That's a quotation out of the book of Isaiah. Matthew records it in Matthew 1:23. He says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So entering in a new era where God is with us. We don't have to fear God because the Lord is with us. So Christmas really should be bringing us cheer because our God is now with us. He's going to help us. He's going to be with us. He's going to help us overcome those fears. He has promised that even back in the book of Isaiah, as we have some of the promises of the coming Messiah of Jesus, lots of quotes are referred to him. I like a quote out of Isaiah 41:10. It says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. We need to realize, friends, God's got us. We're blessed now that we have a Savior that's come into our world, and he has a message for all of us that you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear in life, in death, or even in eternity. I like how the Apostle John put it as he closes out the Bible in the book of Revelations, and it talks about as he saw Jesus. It says, when I saw Jesus, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. I think it's pretty significant as we're coming to the close of Scriptures that Jesus is once again telling us, you don't have to be afraid. Fear is not his language. Fear is not from him. And we talked about that the other week or 2 weeks ago, that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So as our Lord and Savior came into our world, he didn't come just to save us, but he came to also assure us that we don't have to be afraid, that we don't have to fear, because we serve a God who is with us. And that should bring some Christmas cheer into our hearts and into our lives. He'll be with us in our storms. He'll surround us with his presence as we look to him. He will be with us even when we face the shadows of the darkest valley, even the shadow of death. We do not need to fear to walk this life alone or even feel alone, for he is with us. And he desires to bring us hope and assurance and presence, courage, a future, eternity. And that's what he desired to do. So part of the Christmas cheer that this Christmas story brings to us is that God is telling us, he's making an announcement, do not be afraid. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to give up on us. He's going to be with us right to the end of the age. And so as we come to this Christmas season, maybe there are some things that have been troubling you. Maybe you're struggling with some things. Maybe there's some lies that you're believing and it's causing fear. Well, I really believe that God wants to remind us today, you don't need to be afraid because I'm with you. I'm with you. I am your God and I am with you. That's some good news. That's some good Christmas cheer, I think, that we can share as we go through this Christmas season. Then secondly, the Christmas story should bring Christmas cheer as the birth of Christ brought good news that a Savior was born from heaven. So some good cheer, it's because we have some good news to share. You know, as Jesus was born as our Savior, he was born to be the one and only who was able to deliver us from our sin and make a way that we could have peace with God and that we could spend an eternity in heaven. Bible says he came to pay the price for our sin, which was to give his life for ours. And so his birth was really the beginning of what he was planning to do for each and every one of us. And the message that the angel said and declared says, don't be afraid. So that's the first part of Christmas cheer. You don't have to be afraid. And the second part is, I'm bringing you good news. You know, in our world today, there's a lot of bad news. We don't like to share good news for some reason. I guess bad news sells better than good news. Well, I think our world is getting to the place where they're looking for some good news. And you have some good news. Christmas reminds us that we have good news. So the good news is that Jesus Christ was born in human flesh to be our Savior that would take away the sins of the world. His birth brought salvation to all who would believe in him. And the book of Romans does a great job explaining exactly what he did. Romans 1, 3 and 4 says, the good news is about his son, Jesus Christ. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the good news. Pure and simple. That's the good news that we need to be sharing and talk about. That he's the very Son of God in human flesh. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Salvation can only be found in him. He's really the Savior that this world needs and that it should be looking to. And he's come to save us from sin and to offer us an eternity in heaven. Isn't that good news? So that's some more good cheer that this Christmas season brings to us. And this news of good cheer, this good news that we should be sharing, is not just happened on that Christmas day, but something we need to continue to share as we go out throughout our lives. And you'll see as you read the Bible that people were doing that. They were sharing the good news. And every generation has a responsibility to share the good news. Part of the Great Commission. So Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And again, God is with us. He is with us. He cares about us. We got some good news to be sharing that Jesus was born and that Jesus came to save us from our sins and to give us the hope of heaven once again. And so that's very important for us to do. We need to keep telling people about Jesus. Don't stop telling people about Jesus. That's a very, very important for us because that's part of sharing the good cheer of Christmas is telling others about Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior of the world. The early church did that. Even when they're being persecuted, sometimes, you know, people are getting worried, but what happens? What if we Christians start getting persecuted here in Canada? Well, we need to follow what the Bible says. It says, the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. You don't stop, friend. You keep speaking the good news. And that's what we're all supposed to do. Christmas cheer started on that very first Christmas saying, here's some good news, world. Well, we need to continue that, talking to our world today. Hey, world, there's some good news. Jesus has been born as a Savior of the world. The very Son of God has come into this world to save us from our sins and to bring us into a place of eternity with God our Father. And that's some wonderful good things that the Bible declares for us. The Bible is saying the angels of heaven made that announcement. It's kind of interesting as you read the scriptures. It also talks about that every time a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, there's an angelic party that takes place. And it says that all the angels of heaven rejoice. So just like that day, that very first Christmas, the angels are rejoicing, they're singing, they're shouting, they're giving the praises, they're making the announcements of the good news. Well, let me tell you, every time a person comes to faith in Christ, the angels are still doing that. They're still rejoicing in heaven. So I think that's kind of cool. So there's good cheer with the good news. Then thirdly, the Christmas story should bring cheer to the extent that we should experience great joy. See, God wants us to be happy. God wants us to experience a joy in our hearts, in our lives. And part of that joy comes from the Christmas story. Again, a proclamation. The angels say that in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Friends, we need to realize that if we come to a place of faith in Jesus Christ, come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it opens up a door for joy to come into our lives, a happiness that we can have in our lives. And certainly knowing that Jesus has come to save us from our sins, to deliver us from sin, all of that should cause us to be grateful, thankful, joyous. You know, we now have a hope, we have a future, we have an eternity, we have a heaven that's being promised to us as we welcome Jesus Christ into our lives. And so Jesus wants to bring joy to the world. He wants the whole world to be saved. The Bible talks about that. He desires no one to perish, but everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And so that's what we need to be proclaiming as well, that there is joy, friends, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He brings a fulfillment in our lives that nothing else can do. And you've probably found that in life, that we sometimes pursue things thinking, this is what's going to bring me joy. This is what's going to bring me happiness. And friends, you can chase this whole world and you'll find there is lots of happiness, but it's not a sustaining happiness. There's only one place that you can go to that have a sustaining happiness and a sustaining joy in your life, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when we have that relationship with Him, guilt and shame, regret can go, because we come to a place where we can be forgiven of all our sins. And that's what Jesus came to do. I like Romans chapter 8, 1 to 3. The book of Romans is quite a doctrinal book. And here's what it says. It says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His only Son into a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins." So as we found faith in Christ and we come to Him, there's a wonderful thing that takes place. He forgives us of our sins. He cleanses us from our sins. And that should be something for all of us to be excited about and to be happy about and to be joyous about, that God has delivered each of us from our sins and He's forgiven us. That's a wonderful thing. And so we don't have to keep carrying guilt and shame of things that we've done in our past when we come and have faith in Him, because He takes all that away. He forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Romans 4, 7 and 8 says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." Again, such a wonderful thing to realize that I've been forgiven. Jesus has forgiven me. That's a wonderful thing. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "You love Him even though you've never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." I kind of like the King James Version a little bit better there, where it speaks that you'll experience a joy unspeakable and full of glory. See, God meant to fulfill our joy by coming into this world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We kind of sang that earlier here this morning. Joy to the world. That's an announcement that God wants to bring joy to our world. And that joy is meant to stay with us. It's not meant just to have a one-time thing where we invite Jesus into our life. We welcome His forgiveness in our lives. No, it's a joy that He wants to stay in our hearts and in our lives. John 15, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." And so this Christmas season, we need to remember that was a proclamation from heaven. joy to the world. That's what God desires to bring into our hearts, into our lives. Not just that first Christmas morning, but every day from that day forward until the day that we see him face to face. And then lastly, the Christmas story should bring us cheer as we now can experience peace with God. See, that door was open with Christ coming as our Savior and offering himself for sin. Peace with God and favor with God. And then, again, a proclamation, Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, the hosts of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." So there's a Christmas blessing there as well. And that should bring Christmas cheer because God has announced peace over our world. We see that the enemy of our soul, Satan, continues to create havoc in our world and wants people to live in fear, wants people to be at war with one another. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus said, "I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring peace." And I think we need to be proclaiming that blessing of peace over our world, over our own lives. You know, peace is freedom from torment, freedom from disturbance, freedom from war, freedom from conflict, being replaced by tranquility, serenity, and the absence of stress and strife. Kind of think of the old hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear," because we don't bring it to God. We don't come to him. He's offering us peace. If you're finding yourself that you don't have peace, look to him. Because he is that God of peace. And he wants us to experience that peace. The Bible tells us that he's a God of peace. He's also the Prince of Peace. In other words, he has authority in that whole realm of peace that he's able to give to each of us. Isaiah 9:6, another passage of scripture of the Old Testament talking about the coming of the Messiah. It says, "A child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so this Christmas season should bring us great cheer as he's the Prince of Peace. He's the very God of peace. They can bring peace in our lives and also peace in our world. If only our world would learn to look to him, they would find peace. He is the answer to all the wars, all the corruption, all the things that are going on in our world. He's still the answer. It's been proclaimed from the heavens. If you want peace, look to him, for the Prince of Peace has come. And this peace God desires to give to each and every one of us. At this Christmas season, we kind of like all those things with gifts and receiving gifts. Well, Jesus says, "I'm giving you something. I want to give you a present. I want to give you a gift." Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So that's what he's offering us. He's offering us a peace. John 14:27, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." And so the Lord wants us to know again that he wants to give us peace. He wants peace to settle over you. Maybe there's been a lot of turmoil in your life of late. Maybe your world has been turned upside down. Well, the Lord's announcement on that first Christmas was, "I have peace for you. I want to give you peace." And so I pray that that part of Christmas cheer of peace will touch your heart and touch your life today. But I just thought to remind you today that there should be some Christmas cheer as we come into this season, because the Lord has done so much for us. You know, Jesus came into our world as a sacrifice for our sins. He came to soothe the fears that are out there, that God was going to punish us all, that God was going to condemn us all. But he came with some good news, that he was the Savior of the world. And as we put our faith in him, that we'd be saved from wrath and receive a promise of eternity in heaven. He came to bring joy. He came to bring peace in our hearts and in our lives. That's a great Savior. We have much to celebrate in this Christmas season. We all should have some great Christmas cheer because our Lord and Savior has done so much for us. And He is with us. He watches over us. He loves us. He cares about us. And He wants us to have the best days of our lives.